Jensen, I'm getting to that part of the year where there's certain teams I'm almost just, I can't even pay attention to them anymore because it's just so painful to watch day in, day out. Yes, maybe about my Metropolitans and the Kansas City Royals. There's other teams that maybe you start looking at differently at this time of the year. What about those Phillies? We talked about them early, the terrible start. They make the change at manager. And ever since Donnie Baseball has taken over, not only do we look at them differently for the wild card and the playoffs, but Jensen, could we be looking at them as an upper echelon team these days?
I think so. Now 7 games over .500 at 40-33, just 7 back of the Atlanta Braves. By the way, check your sports books. Yesterday, with the suspension of that game, you could still have those bets live. I know I have a money line still live on the Braves at $1.52. So double check. Each book will be different on those house rules there. So again, they will resume that later this afternoon. As pertains to the Phillies, they have just been a well-oiled machine since Don Mattingly took over, as you mentioned, as the interim manager. I think they keep it rolling here this afternoon. Series finale there at Citizens Bank Park. Andrew Painter will take on Sandy Alcantara. They have handled the Marlins to this point, and it has not been a close series, Dave, whatsoever. I think we're getting a discount here on the Phillies. I did find them minus $1.09 on Novig here this morning. So they are 21-14 as a home favorite, which they are today. Miami 9-15 is a road dog. Just 2-4, Dave, in the last 6 road starts by Sandy Alcantara, straight up there. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Let's stay right there in the city of brotherly love. So Phillies money line minus $1.09, our first play today. Deep in the heart of Texas, Tigers and Astros, an intriguing series here the last couple of days, but we get the series finale today. And I also think a matchup that favors some run suppression. It's going to be Casey Mize getting the ball for the Detroit Tigers. Peter Lambert, who has been one of the better stories here recently of a really beaten up Houston Astro rotation. I do think we find our way to the under. I'm going to play an under 8.5. Found that at minus $1.13 on Novig as well. Seeing eights there at Circa and elsewhere around the market. Dave, 7 consecutive games started by Casey Mize of the Tigers, in which 7 or fewer runs were scored combined, regardless of opponent. Boom. 7 times. The offense has disappeared, but Casey Mize has been equal to the task. So that's a trend I don't want to get in front of. And the way Peter Lambert has been throwing too, let's stick with it. So an afternoon affair there at Daikin Park, under 8.5, minus $1.13 for Tigers and Astros.
I love to do this and ask these questions to you because with the trade deadline coming in early August, and here we are in mid-June, and I'm looking at those fighting fish, as you mentioned today, going up against the Phillies. And they're now 2 games under .500 after losing the first 2 in this series. They're 3 back of the wild card. But 2 of the teams in the wild card, again, we think the Phillies are going to be not only in play there for a wild card, but maybe we can run down the Braves. Who knows? It's the Cardinals and the Nationals right now that would be holding down those 2 other wild card positions in the National League. Now, I'm not saying that this is fugazi and fool's gold with those 2 teams, but I think if you're a team like the Marlins or a team like the Pirates or even the Diamondbacks, you might look at that and go, man, we can run down those guys, right? The reason why I bring that up is Sandy's pitching today, as you mentioned, and I keep hearing in baseball circles that he could be on the blocks before we get to the trade deadline. Wouldn't that be counter for a team like the Marlins that feels like they're in the race right now for the wild card? I guess my question is, do you think he's really on the blocks, or is that just you kind of throw it out there and see what offers you might get?
No, I think right now is that kind of year or time of the year, I should say, where every front office starts doing its due diligence. Not that they are interested in dealing per se, more so in understanding what market value would be right now. And not a shock that Sandy Alcantara's name will be one of those bandied about. Whether he does get moved or not, I think we're way too early still on the Marlins side of where they would be. And especially just looking at the wild card race, we talk about it a lot with the American League. You look at the Kansas City Royals, who are dead last right now. They're only 7.5 games out of a playoff spot. But more importantly, let's kind of look at it from the National League side. The Washington Nationals, if the playoffs started today, would occupy the final wild card spot. There are 7 teams, including those Miami Marlins, Dave, within 3 games of the final playoff spot. So very difficult at this juncture to want to jettison, knowing you still have about, you know, a month and change before we get to that August 3rd deadline. So I don't think anyone's looking to move any assets just yet. As I told you, our checkpoints will be the All-Star break and then probably about a week before the trade deadline. That really is when teams will start to make those decisions.
All right, good, because I don't want those fish. I got some tickets on them. Don't deal Sandy. That's what I'm getting at here in the long picture of it. You mentioned those Nationals here occupying that third wild card spot here. They're going to take on the Royals today. And you mentioned the Royals, man. I have to turn it off. I mean, I feel bad. I feel like I look at the box score and I see Bobby Witt goes 3-for-4 and they lose by 4. I mean, you know, it just seems like nothing changes right now with the dates in the calendar. What do you see today in game number 3 here between the Royals and the Nats in D.C.?
Well, another over gets home for us yesterday. Another curly W win. Why not make the sweep supreme? You get Zach Littell, who's going for the Washington Nationals. The Nats have won 4 of his last 5 home starts, and so I love where that trend's at. Also, Kansas City, a real tough time as a road dog, which they are again today. It's going to be Lewinder Avila who's going to get the ball. Total already up to 10 on DraftKings, 9.5 at Circa. Not a feel yet for the over, but, I mean, hey, rest and, you know, really repeat. It's all it's been has been overs for the Nationals. So I'm not mad at you if you want to go there. $1.21 for the Nationals is what I found on Novig, Dave. I'll play the Nats on the money line again here. Until they prove otherwise, I don't think Kansas City's backable at any juncture here, especially on the road. They're 6-11 straight up as a road underdog this year. I don't see that changing later on this afternoon in our nation's capital.
All right, don't look now in the AL Central. Okay, you can look. White Sox and Guardians are tied atop the division lead here. You've got a play today that you like with the Guards in action. What do you make of their matchup today? And I'm looking at the Brew Crew here. We know it's tough to win in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I think just a short road dog here for the Guardians with their ace on the mound. That's Gavin Williams. This one later on tonight at 7:40 Eastern time. Brandon Sproat going to get the ball for Milwaukee. 5-1 straight up. That's what Cleveland is in the last 6 road starts by Gavin Williams, and he has been equal to the task. They're going to have to do it without Jose Ramirez for the next 5 to 7 weeks. Little spoiler alert there for stock up, stock down. But I think this is a great spot for Cleveland. Might be a lower scoring affair, but let's take the Guardians plus $1.10. Found that on Novig. I think they're going to be able to maybe win a lower scoring game. Brandon Sproat kind of been up and down here as of late, but I think the Guards do enough to scratch out a victory here in this really well-pitched series thus far.
By the way, when you look at the Guards and say the White Sox, a team we've talked a lot about here, big picture, I think we all know that the Brewers are going to be in it to win it, not just the division, but a real player here once you get to the playoffs in the National League. What about the Guardians and White Sox? Are we really looking at those two guys as a two-horse race in the Central?
Yes, but I don't think Cleveland has staying power. I think, obviously, pitching-wise, they're going to be fine. They're number 8 right now in Major League Baseball, 8.3 wins above replacement on the pitching side. I just don't know where the offense comes from. And the problem is going to be that you're 20th right now, and that's just with a couple of days without Jose Ramirez now at the hamate injury. He's out 5 to 7 weeks. Chicago has been great offensively, and that's still without Munetaka Murakami. Dave, White Sox are 7th, 10.4 offensive wins above replacement. Only the Braves, Cardinals, Nationals, Cubs, Yankees, and Dodgers are ahead of the Southsiders. And it has been, honestly, their pitching that has been the other great part of it. Now, they're 18th in pitching wins above replacement on Fangraphs, but that is plenty able to keep you in when you've got a top 7 scoring offense the way that Chicago does right now.
Amazing. I know that was one of the win totals you had on the White Sox. They're 5 games over 500 at this juncture, even with that loss to the Yankees yesterday. Pretty darn good start to the season here.